This scripture, like the Hebrew scriptures for this Lenten season that we are about, is a scripture about God's covenant with humanity. You see, the covenant history is a rich one to explore during these days, particularly as it culminates in the law of love. We've been on this journey. We've been traveling with our Lord since what we call Ash Wednesday. And with time of Lent, as we come each and every day through that, as we learn, as we grow, as we receive. And yet, you see, even after Christ's resurrection in this world, humanity never fulfills its part of the covenant. God made that covenant for us of love, but yet, as His children, we still fall short. We've not completely caught on. We've not quite got it yet. We've caught up in the rules themselves in life. We get caught up in things. We get caught up in what can and can't be accepted. We get caught up in stuff. We are overly invested in making the covenant work through human effort and forgetting the spirit of love in which God offers this covenant. Even the best of Christians seldom can claim to live by the law of love constantly and consistently. It's a hard job to constantly and consistently follow God, to love Him, to share. Because every now and then that humanness in us, that's just who we are, it kind of riles up and flares up and we jump off on something we shouldn't. And so John's gospel today, which warns so direly of the evil of darkness, of false belief or arrogant unbelief, would seem to condemn. Are all sinful people condemned because of love for darkness instead of light? Our scripture says no. John's gospel offers its most beloved hope in these passages. In verses 17 and verses 16, he says to us, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And the verse that we all know, the verse that people put up at sporting events, people put up at wrestling matches, I mean, why would anybody be at one of those? But anyway, you see them all over TV, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should do what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Have eternal life. Life forever. Whatever your scripture says, everlasting life, eternal life. It's given to us if we believe. He loved us so much that He gave us that gift. You see, the great news of the Christian covenant is God's refusal to give up on us. On humanity. That's the story of grace. That's the story that you and I live in with God's grace. The scripture readings teach us that God had ultimately decided that there is only one rule in this covenant with humanity. God must obey the law of love. This scripture reminds Christians in this time of Lent and always that God's light is mightier than any darkness, that God's light is mightier than any darkness. God's grace is sufficient to cover any imperfection. God's grace is sufficient to cover any imperfection. God's grace will cover. It's sufficient for all my needs. It's sufficient for all your needs. God's powerful love is stronger than any death. But John does not let us forget that such grace and light and love are facing real forces in this world that we live in. Even in the world of that day, the world of today, he reminds us, he doesn't want us to forget that such grace and light and love are facing real forces in this world. The forces of sin and darkness and death are genuine and powerful, and humans have the ability to align themselves with such forces. When we do so, we become the evil who hate the light because of our fear that our deeds may be exposed. Think about that. Humans have the ability to align themselves with such forces. And when we do so, we become the evil, who hate the light because of our fear that our deeds may be exposed. The call this Lenten season is, to be a discipline, to find that discipline within ourselves alongside the Christian tradition and sacrificial living. Help us remember to be among those who do what is true, that we might come to the light. To do what is true, so that you and I may come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that our deeds have been done in God. That we've done them for the good, that we've done them for the right, that we've not done them in vain, that we've not done them for somebody to see, look there. That we've not done them and say, hey, look at me. But we've done them and God has seen them. He tells us that in verse 20, that God sees them. Those who do what is true come to the light. You see, such deeds are not done because we are the mighty ones, but because we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. We have put our faith and our trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Such truth is not the result of perfect living, oh no, but rather trust and hope in God's promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. A life of love and grace that begins now and goes on into eternity. Such a life is worthy of God's calling. Such a life is an honor to Christ's sacrifice. Such a life is a joy to the Holy Spirit's presence. Such a life. We sing about it all the time, God of grace and God of glory. We sang, to God be the glory this morning. All the things that we sing about, all the things that we do, all the scripture that comes our way. My disciple class tells me on Tuesday night that I'm a walking hymnal. Because every time we'll read the scripture, we'll tell something. I'll say, do you know this song? And they'll say, and I'll say, do you remember this verse? And I said, that's where it comes from. That person, that's the same thing. And else, I said, I don't know why. Maybe I was paying attention a long time ago. I don't know, but it stuck. And all of a sudden, it's just something. It comes to life. The words that we sing out of the hymnal, the words that we sing out of the faith we sing in the other little green book now that we have, all these things, they are people that have thought and people that have prayed, and God has enlightened them to tell these stories, to tell the scriptures, to tell it. I saw in the paper this past week where a lady has portrayed Fanny Crosby and did this great thing that went around and was telling about the hymns that this lady wrote. And this lady wrote upwards towards over 10,000 hymns. And many of them are in this book. And many of them are in every hymnal all over, no matter what you are, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, she's there. Because she was so good at what she did. She loved the Lord. And she lived a long, long time ago. She'd been dead a while, people. But her hymns and her songs are still amazing. Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory. All kinds of great songs. Jesus Is Mine. I mean, she just, My Redeemer, Oh How I Love Him. I mean, just so many things. And the thing about it, about Fanny Crosby was, she was born, and in a moment after her birth, something was done to her that was just an accident. They put drops in her eyes that blinded her. She was blind her whole life. She lived her life in total darkness of the world that we live in. We can see the beauty shine through the stained glass windows when we see the sunrise of a morning. But yet she wrote about those things. She wrote about the goodness of God in her life and the blessings that come each and every morning. You know, that she had that assurance and that peace of knowing that Jesus was hers. And the things that she did, I mean, she lived a long life. She was 95 years old when she died. And she just lived her life sharing and giving and doing. The things that we see of our history, the things that we see happening now, the things that we see around us, the goodness that people do, that they live in the law of love. They know that God loved us so much that He gave His Son for us. You see, in living the life of faith, in trusting Christ's gift by giving our belief and hope to God, we become lovers of the light. lovers of God, lovers of the one who will always love us. In this new covenant through Christ Jesus, God has placed a trust in humanity, a hope and a belief that we will come to the light and shun the darkness. Because the darkness is always there. It stands right beside the light. And it's always tempting, it's always asking, it's always begging, it's always nudging itself in on our world. And many turn quickly to it, and others can say no. But we have to always be conscious of that darkness. Because that darkness is always there. That evil is always lurking in the corners. Sometimes that evil sits right beside us on Sunday morning. Sometimes that evil stays in the house that we live in. Sometimes that evil is all around us. We meet it every day. We do not know where we're going to encounter it, but it's all around us. And we have to be always aware of that, to know that just at a moment's notice, we can say or do something that we hadn't really planned on doing or hadn't really planned on saying. And that is the evil one. That is the evil, the darkness that is always there. So guess what we have to do? We have to always be on task. We always have to know that we need to shun that darkness. No matter how many times we turn to the darkness, God hopes again for our repentance, our return to the light. This hope is God's covenant for us, God's promise to always abide by the law of love. You see, that is God's promise to always abide by the law of love. It is always there. It is our hope. It is our future. It is our present. It is our past. That law of love has been with us since the beginning of time. It was God's promise. God's promise came into the world in the form of His Son, our Savior. He died so that we could have life eternal, and that promise is still there, and that promise is fulfilled each and every day when we make a decision to know Him better, love Him, to care for Him, to walk beside Him, to allow Him to be a part of our life. That happens every day when someone chooses to want their child to be raised in the church and in a family and in a community that loves and nurtures. It comes true every time we do something to share His love. So this day, let us remember that. Let us remember John 3:16. Let us remember John 3:17. Let us know that He didn't come into the world to condemn us, but by Him the world may be set free. The world may be saved. Be with us now. Go with us this day. Take this message to the world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for who You are in our lives, for loving us, for blessing us, for allowing us to share, for allowing us to be here for such a time as this, for allowing us, Lord, to be blessed in this world that You've given us, to be a part of that great cloud of witnesses around us. We thank You, Lord, for those who come, for those who are, for those who continue to be that presence in our life, that example of faith, that goodness and steadfast love that comes. We thank You, Lord, for those folks in our path, because we know that evil is all around us. We don't have to look very far. We can pick up a paper every day and know that evil lurks all around us. People that are supposedly good, law-abiding citizens are out there just being evil all the time. People that know better, people that are old, or people that should be our good folks are doing bad things. People that are young people are doing bad things. People that are middle-aged, it doesn't matter. It seems like the world is so full. But Lord, we have to remind ourselves that there is goodness, that there is peace, that there is light. There is hope in that darkness. And we need to be the ones to help people find that. So Lord, that law of love that comes from You, as You gave it to us through Your Son, remind us of that each and every day. Remind us of that hope that we have in You. Remind us of that promise to go, to do, and to be all that You have called us. Be with us now. Bless our time, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.